Hey, this is May 29th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Why do we say that? Do we say that because we want it to be true? Or do we say that because it is true? We say that because it is true. If you are doing affirmations of any type, you are saying it because it is true. You are not saying it to make it true. If you are doing an affirmation because you want something to be true, it will never come true. You must do it knowing that you're saying it because it is true. So when you say that you are a god or goddess, you must know that that is the truth. It is not something that you are hoping for. It's not something that you are wishing will come to you. You must know that it is true already. Affirmations, treatments, anything that you are doing, you say it because it is already true, not to make it true. We are teaching truth here, and that's how we teach truth. So think about that and how you are handling those items in your life. You are never making anything true. You are claiming that it is already true, and it has to be already true. So it's the idea of making a silk purse into a sow's ear or a sow's ear into a silk purse. You cannot do that. What you can do is recognize the truth and know that the truth is there already. So you are already gods in the making. You are already gods and goddesses. You must know that. You are not trying to become something. You already are. Everything is done in the present moment. All right? Will you use this, please?
God is aspiring through me now.
God is operating.
Oh, God is operating through me now.
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 God is operating through me now. God is operating through me now. God is operating through me now.
God is operating through me now. God is operating through me now.
God is operating through me now.
God is operating through me now. Why are we saying that? Because that is the truth. God is operating through you now. You are not waiting for God to operate through you. The only thing that can operate through you is God. The only life there is the life of God. And each and every one of us is some part of that life or some individualized part of that life. What the world tries to tell you and what your own eyes and senses try to tell you is that you're separated from something. We do not get our demonstrations because we always think that they're outside of us, and we always think that we're separated from this thing called God. You can never be separated from this thing called God, because God is all there is, and you must be some part of that. Okay? So you're telling yourself the truth when you say these things. You are not trying to make something true. You are recognizing the truth, you are claiming the truth, and you are claiming that truth for yourself. Good evening. So, we'll open it to questions and answers in just one moment, but I think I will want to talk of this a minute, because when I hear different things that from students and so forth, I want to make things clear that perhaps were not clear before. Last week, several people, I think, had aha experiences. And Jay wasn't here. The whole idea of this idea that God can only do for you what God can do through you. What does that actually mean? We had many demonstrations about that. We have many illustrations of what that means. We have to realize that God can only do for you what God can do through you. Through what? Through your consciousness, through your thinking, through your mind, through your attitudes, through your beliefs. If your beliefs and attitudes, opinions and viewpoints are already set. God can only go as far as those. You must change your mind if you want to change anything in your life. If you want to change your life, you must change your mind. You must change your consciousness. It is done with thought, it is done with feelings, and it is done with awareness. So you become aware that you're one with this thing called God. So an illustration of this would be, and we used it, I think, last week with Paula. She said something was lost. If that is in your consciousness that something is lost, that is as far as God can go with that. You see, if God, using your mind, using your imagination again, God can only do for you what God can do through you, through your thinking. So let's think that this is God coming through you, and you get God's coming through you, and it runs into this thing lost. Some item is lost, money is lost, I'm lost, whatever it is. It's as far as that can go. You must change that, you see. So what? What do we change that to? Nothing is lost in the mind of God. All things are possible with God. Now it can move through you and do something. We always stop our own good with our thinking. We say something in our mind, something in our consciousness. So what does that also bring up, which I mentioned many, many times, is the whole idea that words structure thought. You must change your vocabulary. If you do not change your vocabulary, you're not going to get anywhere. You're saying? Words structure thought. You cannot think without words. So what words are you using? And are they the words that are going to bring you what you want, you see? Because God will not change the words, you see? So you have to be always open for that, always open for that. How many times have you heard the expression, know the truth and the truth will set you free? Know the truth and the truth will set you free. Since it's questions and answers, I'll ask that question. Is there anyone in here who knows what that means? You've heard it all your life. It's taught in every religious institution, every brand name church, that the truth will set you free. But no one has ever told you the truth, have they? Do you think you have an idea?
Well, my family wouldn't help students, and so the truth was that religion. That was the truth. And I'm like, are you in the truth? And you're like, okay, what is the truth? I had a lot of questions and they never got answered. But I did learn a lot from them. And, you know, I always challenged everyone about information and looked right up other
ones. What is the truth, I'm asking?
I think it's God. But then there's so many things that we need to know about God. What is the truth?
We don't need to know that much about God. What we need to know is something about ourselves. You have to bring everything bound to you. If you're going to talk about God all the time, we have no idea what God is. God is always going to be on beyond thoughts and words. Think about your own self. That statement that is made all the time, the truth, know the truth and the truth will set you free, is the idea that you have a mind, you see? And you must learn to use that mind. And that mind replicates what you're thinking. That is the truth that sets you free. Once you realize that there's nothing outside of yourself that can ever do anything to you, you are always doing everything to yourself. You are always the cause onto your own experience. So the truth that sets you free is to take responsibility for your thinking and change it. Change your thinking. That is the truth. That is the truth that was taught by one of the master teachers, Jesus. It is taught in every church, but they don't know how to teach it, and they never tell you what exactly that means. The truth that sets you free is the idea of consciousness. And what is going on in your consciousness? What is the beliefs, the viewpoints, and the attitudes that you have? Because this thing called God can only work with those. You must change those. That is what it means. Okay? Your mind is a manufacturing machine. It manufactures things. So it replicates any thought that you have. It will replicate. Yes. And that's a scientific thing also. That's called one of the basic principles. If you don't realize that your mind is replicating your life, it's producing your life, it's replicating. Okay? Now, questions?
All these religions, you always have to pray, or we were taught, and I was, you know, millions of religions today, my family were in, that if you don't pray through Jesus, these things will come true. So as you're praying, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, I mean, Jesus, is he, you know, I believe he's an important man, but I don't think he's going to, he's not going to save, he's not saving the world from all this. I never need all that pokey. I'm sorry. So, in your thoughts, do you have to pray through Jesus to get these things accomplished?
Absolutely not.
I never thought so either. I always thought, you know, God listening to us.
You have to remember that they say God, Jesus was the begotten Son and the only begotten Son of God. Well, that's an out and out lie. We're all begotten of God, male, female, whatever, is begotten of God. God is all there is. What they mean by that, and people get confused, they say Jesus is God and all this. Well, we can say Dallas is God also, but not the big shebang. So, they miss the whole point. Is what we are going for here is a Christ consciousness. A Christ consciousness is a higher way of thinking of something. Jesus was called Jesus Christ. He was Christed. He had a Christ consciousness. Anyone can obtain a Christ consciousness. I can bring you a book if you wish, and you can sit and do all the different things if you want to do that to yourself. There are all kinds of techniques, but this is all we're ever trying to do, is raise our consciousness. That is all it's about. And as for praying, who are you praying to? You're praying to yourself.
You're talking yourself into it.
Well, not so much that you're talking, that's talking yourself into it. You're changing your mind so that you can allow this thing to work in as and through you. So, doesn't matter if it's Jesus, the Buddha, Muhammad, or any of them. They were all great teachers, but they were teachers. You see? Now, let's let other people, please. You had a question.
Well, I'm going across miracles every week, and it's very, very similar. So I have a question. Marianne talks about in this new book she wrote. It's not enough to love some people some of the time. You have to love everyone all the time. And that was a big thing for me. Because I've done the course, like I'm on my third time now. So I'm doing it over the past 20 years. It's totally changed my life every time I've done it. But so I can go through like any meeting I'm at or any place and see the innocence in everyone. And one of the lessons in the course is if you can't see that, if someone has like harmed you and you can't see the innocence, you have to meditate on them. And you find a sliver of innocence in them that is in everyone, and you just allow it to grow until it overtakes them. And then you meditate about them. She says 5 minutes every day for 30 days, and that will change your relationship with them. So, I can forgive. I mean, I'm working on that, and I can do it. But I get to the part about where people have done things that hurt me, and it's just a saying. It's just in my head. I know. I can forgive like everyone. But I know she says you can love them, but you don't have to go for lunch with them.
That's it. Or they can move to another country.
But you know what I'm asking? It's like, how do I still not, like, I don't want to have the resentment, but I don't want to be stupid and be a doormat. You know, like, oh, okay, you screwed me over, like someone screwed me over last week. it was no big deal. But I'm like, okay, like he stood me up. One of my clients stood me up, just totally. He's like, I'm on my way. I'll be there in half an hour. Never show up. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like, okay, I forgive him. But, you know, meanwhile, it's just like, I feel like I'm just letting him get away with that.
Yes.
You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and you see he's coming from the ego, and he's dropped down into this world, and this world is, we all think that same thing. What we try to do is separate the act from the actor. You love the actor, but you hated the act that he did. You do not forgive the act, you forgive the actor.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? So you have to move your thing. You weren't here when we did I am the full expression of God's love. So you have to sit down and say to yourself, I'm the full expression of God's love. Now I'm going to move up in consciousness and I'm going to forgive this person. And when you go back down, you just forgive yourself and you say, well, I'm working on that and this is my human part of me and this is my ego wants to. Because I told you before, if you watch television with that Law and Order thing, they're always out to punish people. Almost every thing that's taught in the world says you have to pay for something. It has to be punishment. But if you read the Bible, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You let God take care of all of that. You have no right to take vengeance. That's somebody else's job, not yours. But we like to think, oh, now I've been hurt. The only thing that's been hurt is your ego. The only thing that's hurt is your ego. So you have to go to spirit. Your spirit is never hurt. Remember, the dish is never dirty. And it takes a while for you to convince yourself of that. It takes a while. But you say to yourself, I am the full expression of God's love. I am the full expression of God's love. So you're able to ease that out. And you take that and you become aware of what the world, you see, you're being convinced by the world again. Why are we always convinced by the world? Why does Christianity and most religions do not work? Why? Because before we ever get to know anything about Christianity or any of the religions whatsoever, we learn an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the Hammurabi law. It has nothing to do with Christianity or any religion whatsoever, but it's thrown in there. So we think, ah, they did something to me, I have to get back, and it's all right to do that. It is not all right to do that, you're saying. But on the other hand, you are not a doormat. You're not throwing yourself to the lions and letting the lions eat you. You say to the man, this is exactly what happened. This is how I feel. When you did that, this is how I felt. And I do not tolerate that. If you want to be my client, you be on time or go someplace else, please. Yes, I know.
I forgive him. I understand. But if I don't keep, you know, I mean, I've sort of let it go, like the lawyer just does his thing and just whatever.
Sure.
But you know, just letting it. I just okay. Also, in the Course in Miracles, God, she says, or she says that God doesn't punish anyone because God. In his eyes, we're not sinners.
God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You set in judgment upon yourself, and you set in judgment upon other people. So you have to come up about that. This whole eye thing about your brother and so forth has been going on for the longest time. And even though you say you forgive him, you have not forgiven him. If you had completely forgiven him, the money would appear in front of you. So you're pretending that you forgave him, which is another little trick of the ego. And you think that that makes good sense, and now you think God is very proud of you because you're going to forgive somebody. God's not proud of you. God's in love with you.
Can you forgive somebody without having to tell them?
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to keep your... the best thing in the world is always keep your mouth shut. It's always inner work that's going on.
So as long as it's in here that you forgive them.
It's inside of you. The only way you can ever do anything is inside of you. You're saying? And what, as soon as you brag about anything, your ego has taken over. Oh, I forgive him. You just, that's the ego. That's the ego right away. I made a demonstration. That's the ego. You just have to keep raising your consciousness until you realize what the ego is doing to you all the time. And then you say to the ego, I'm not going to do that. And you start to change your patterns about things. But we like to say, ah, boy, I got that there. Anytime you're bragging, anytime you're saying I'm forgiving people or anything, it's your ego doing that. You think God's saying, oh, I forgive you, I forgive you. No. No. This is why I tell you the world is very convincing, and your mind, this ego part of your mind, is very convincing. And it tricks you every time, because now you say, oh, I have to forgive. Okay. Now you forgive. Now you're very proud of yourself for forgiving. Well, there's nothing to be proud about. That is the ego, one more time. Spirit is not proud. Spirit is humble. You don't have to prove anything to yourself. Your ego constantly tells you you do have to prove something. You do not have to prove something. You just have to sit and be. Be what? Be love. Help you. You're too hard on yourself. Stop being hard on yourself. Look how beautiful you just smiled. Now that's spirit coming through you. When you smile and you go like that, that rest of it, you don't. Your face clams down, your whole body clams down, your whole energy starts to shut down. I can tell it as soon as you come in the room. You're the easiest person in this room to read. It's true. But see, now look, when you smile, look how wonderful. If you would do that more. There, now. You see, you're releasing. So can you see the releasing? Do that. Another question, anyone? No? No, and you don't?
Okay, about God being a male entity. Not that it probably matters, but is that a fact, or is it?
Oh, absolutely not. Give that horse shit up. God, God first. If I just told you, God is beyond thoughts and words.
Right.
God is not human, except in my form, mm-hmm. and except in your form. God is anthropomorphic. Years ago, they always said, now when I say years ago, thousands of years ago, it was always mother, father, God. It was always God or goddess or all there is. God or goddess or all there is. Then years ago, centuries ago, it was a matriarchic society. And then men decided women, you see, shouldn't be any longer. And they took that away from them and it became a patriarchic society. So now man is ruling. Before, women were revered because they brought life. But man said, oh no, we have a penis, we bring life. You see? It is a combination. But women were always revered because they were the ones that could bear life. And men took that away from them. You see? So then they thought, oh, God has to be a man because we're men and we're big and we're powerful. God is not a man. God is intelligence. God is wisdom. God is energy. God is life itself. Stop thinking that God is what you think it is. God is beyond thoughts and words. And once you get that through, God is what's called infinite. And as soon as you start to describe God, you've made God finite. You cannot describe God. You get a feeling for God. You get an awareness of God. So give up that it's a man, please.
I never really thought it was, but I mean, whenever I go, okay, God, and everybody goes,
well, who are these people you're hanging around with?
I don't hang out with them anymore, trust me. It's like when, you know, when you're worried about all these people that do these crappy things to you, and I'm like, okay, I'll forgive them, but I don't have to hang out with them. So I gave up hanging out with those people that have all these.
Well, you see, I don't know about you people. Why immediately you pop into a room and you start to talk about God and so forth and do all that. What is the purpose of that? I walk around all day long. I have people in all kinds of walks of life and so forth, and I never talk about God unless... because I don't have to talk about God in front of him, because my ego doesn't need that. But your ego has to tell everyone, I know what God is and you don't. Ha, 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 ha. Well, then shut up about it. And don't talk about it in front of people. Well, then say, excuse me, I don't think the same way that you do, and let them alone. Never argue. What are you going to argue about God for? Well, the best thing to always say to people, you're absolutely right. And move on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to use inquisitive. No.
This is coming up with my family right now. My grandmother's ill. They want me to move to Kansas and save the day. And then, like, I'm afraid about it. And I'm like, I'm not going. I just called back my sister and said, look. You're almost 97. Okay, what should I do? I can come visit, but she's now was in the hospital. Now she's in a recovery home, and that's where she should be, not living by herself, hurting herself. Which she's across the street from my sister. You should move there, Deborah, and take care of her. I'm like, no, I don't think I should. So I stood up for myself instead of letting them.
Well, good. Pat yourself in the back for that one.
Well, I'm not bragging, but I'm just like, come on, leave me alone. I love you guys, but, you know, this is beyond me.
Are you sure you love them?
I love them. Yeah,
well, then you should go home.
Go home and visit, right? Not going. I don't think I can go there. And live. I tried it. It was almost like seeing myself do suicide right in the kitchen. You know, so I said, okay, fine, this is not the place to live. Plus, when she dies, what will I do? Stay in her house in death? You know, I don't want to, you know, asking this. It's very traumatic, but I don't want to be involved. But I love her, you know.
Good. Questions?
No, don't we always have to take care of ourselves first?
Always. You take care of yourself first. Otherwise, it's the blind leading the blind, and you both fall in the ditch. See? I know that's not very Christian of me, is it? Hmm?
Lisa, what's your take on Easter, the metaphysical take on Easter?
Well, as I think I explained Easter before, but I'll do it one more time for people. Well, Easter is a pagan holiday. We all know that, don't we? That's why we have the eggs and the rabbits and we do all this. And it was because of spring coming and the renewing of life one more time. So it's a wonderful thing, and I use all those things in my own quest for life and for spirit and for all that. Because the springtime is a wonderful time. I have my garden planted and everything. I love doing all that and watching life grow and do. So they took it and made it something else, the Christians, because they wanted pagans to join the church. All Christian holidays are based on pagan holidays, and they did that deliberately to get the pagans to join the church. Does that help you?
Yeah,
Catholic Church is the worst.
Yes.
It bars from everything. Only to get people.
Yes.
If it goes into a country and they have something, they'll incorporate it immediately. Mm-hmm. They'll make them saints and everything else, the old anything to get the people. Well, you need the people for the con. But of course.
Yeah. And when I said that before,
but all the world is based. Anytime you want to find out anything, follow the money. It's all based on money. Our whole life is based on money. Yeah, come on.
I want to share an experience that we had on Sunday. I've been saying for a long time that I wanted to go and see this particular Catholic church, a huge church. I wanted to see the interior of it.
And the one on Moore Park?
My old church.
Yes.
My old church.
And the moment I walked in, I was immediately struck by the reliefs on both sides of the church, from the entry all the way to the pulpit, and they were all depictions of the crucifixion of Jesus.
Oh,
a different scene. The whole thing was nothing but him being crucified.
Yes, because they're the stations of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it affected me in a depressing way.
Yes. And it does. It does that.
It was about death. Right.
Yes. What is about death? Christianity is a dead religion. Didn't you know that? It doesn't celebrate life. It celebrates death. Doesn't anyone realize that? If you go to any of I'll use the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church is more concerned with the death than they are with living. You're saying, and that's why they have Christ on the cross in front of the church and everything. But all religious art and all the stations of the cross and all the things are for propaganda. Remember, they started when no one could read. All their art is propaganda, and was the first propaganda in the world. That's how they got people in. They had to paint paintings, they had to do all that. Because the people had no books, they didn't read, they saw that stuff, and they made these grand things because they were all peasants, and they made churches so elaborate and so nice because it gave them a contrast from their own life.
How many stations of the cross?
Seven stations of the cross.
And what does that mean?
It means on this way to the cross. The carrying of it.
Yeah, why are they calling them seven stations? Did they do different things at each? I mean, did they stop?
Yes.
I see.
They have a procession.
My lack of religion.
At Easter, on Good Friday, they'll do the seven stations of the cross.
I see.
Getting there. They're very good at what they do, by the way.
Oh, is that? They can get you in. They can suck you in.
Boy. Yeah, they're very good at it.
Trust me on that.
How do you feel about numerology and, like, growing up with the religion stuff, the 666 stuff about that Satan? The seven was God's holy number or whatever. Maybe that's why they have seven. But what about the six and what about the numerology? Do you think that it's just in the subconscious or is it a real thing? Or
no.
No.
They've been using that for centuries. See, there's a different thing that it's like numerology, but it's higher up than numerology, which is based on different religious things and so forth. But no, I do not believe in the horoscope. You see, many people in metaphysics read the horoscope, or they do numerology, or they go to a fortune teller and all. That is not what this teaching is about, people. This teaching is to teach you to use your own mind, not to go and use somebody else's mind, and not to use horoscopes and all that stuff. All that you need to know is within you. You have the wisdom of God operating in you. You can ask for that wisdom to be released. It's not released through a horoscope, you say. But remember, numerology and horoscopes, crystals, sandals, whatever else you want to say. And if you put power into that, what kind of power is that? You all people should know this. If you don't know this, I'm going to walk out. Yes. It's secondary causation. We teach first cause, which is mind, which is God. First cause. Now, you can make secondary causation work for you, but it only works so far. But it's secondary causation. Don't be afraid to ask. I'm a gentle person.
I've been wondering about praying.
Yes.
First of all, you pray for God's will to be done. I think you kind of talked about it earlier. Isn't God's will always done? So therefore, praying that God's will be done is like saying, well, I hope the sun comes up tomorrow.
Yes.
When it's going to come up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is to open your energy to receive it better? Is that the idea?
It's to open yourself to receive better. The will of God for everything is good and only good. The will of God is not for you to be a lawyer and not for you to do this, that, or the other thing. The will of God is always going to be for your good and your greater good. Now, when we use this word prayer or demonstration or anything, what we fail to realize is that you have to know your oneness with God. You do not have to pray for anything once you know your oneness with God. Because if you know your oneness with God, everything is already done. It's already done for you. That's why the statement in the Bible says, God knows what you want even before you do. God always knows what's good for you. God always knows that. But you get your bloated self, this ego, into the way, and you think you're going to do something. And then you've been taught that you have to pray to God. You do not have to pray to God. You have to honor your life and the life that is within you, and you have to know that you are one with this thing called God. When you come into oneness with God, there is no separation. If there is no separation between God, then there's no separation between you and the demonstration which you want to make. But you think that that demonstration is outside of you. So you've separated yourself from your demonstration. You think that that money that you want from your brother is outside of you. If you knew that that money was inside of you and that you already had that money and you were not separated from that money, it would be yours. But you think it's someplace else. You caused separation. Therefore, you're not going to get that money. Did that make sense to you? It's a little tricky thing.
It's a little intense.
Sometimes I can be intense. Now, let me talk about that a moment, about being intense and so forth. I don't try to be intense, and I don't try to be a smart ass here. But you people can come and come and come, and you can go to Marianne Williams, and you can go to all these churches, and you can do all this stuff. Till you come to the conclusion that you're one with God and that there's no such thing as separation, you will have everything that you want. Remember last week I said when you stop wanting, you will have. As long as you're wanting something, you are never going to have it. Once you stop wanting it, it will appear in front of you. It's done with knowing that you are one with God. And you have to start there and stay in that place. Remember the big statement we make? It's already done in mind. Everything is already done in mind. But you've separated yourself from mind. You say, oh no, it's there. Oh no, it's there. Nothing is out here, honey. Nothing. Nothing's out here. In here.
How do you really hold that and not let the ego mind override it?
What?
What's
Is that your one with God?
Yeah.
I love that one, and I do it constantly. I am the full, F-U-L-L, full expression of God's love. If you come to that conclusion that you're full expression of God's love, you will realize that you have to be one with God. Just have to be one with God. And when you're one with God, you have to know that all your needs are being taken care of, that everything that you want is there for you. But you keep thinking that it's not there. Now, we use that thing. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. You have to know those four items. Now, why do we say that? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. We do not say that to make it true. We say that because it is true. You do not know that that's true yet. You're still trying to make it true.
What type of demonstration would he do for the money then if he already knows it's his?
Become one with it and stop wanting it.
Okay.
He keeps pushing it away from himself.
So what demonstration and what
all right. Everyone heard this. Maybe you didn't. You see, I listen to what people are saying, and I know what's inside of his mind. What did he say earlier?
He forgave his brother.
No. He said, I still haven't gotten that money, and I understand why my brother can't do this, that, and the other thing. Now, if God is working through you, God can only work through those thoughts. Now God has stopped. You didn't hear yourself say that? God can only do for you what God can do through you. It's done with your thinking, and you're thinking that your brother cannot pay you at the present moment. You say, and you understand why he can't pay you, because he doesn't have the money, and he didn't do this, and he didn't do that. That's his consciousness. God cannot do anything but duplicate that consciousness. He has to change his mind and say, my brother can do this. There's plenty of money coming in. It's a wonderful farm. People are offering him money. This is coming to, and then it's coming to me. You see the difference?
I do have a question, about, praying for other people. And when people say, I'll pray for you, and how it's kind of condescending, they don't really mean that. But what I'm saying is that I'm affecting his life.
You're not affecting anybody's life. How dare you? That's your ego.
If he's going to lose his house, he'll sell his house.
That's his problem.
I know that on the intellectual
level. You have to know that on the spiritual level, too. You're not affecting him. What is yours by right of consciousness? Is that money yours by right of consciousness? Apparently not. You haven't changed your consciousness about it. So you have to change your consciousness about that money. That money belongs to you. Why does it belong to you? Because you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It does not make one iota of a difference that it was in your father's will. As you can see, it didn't make any difference because you didn't get it, did it? So it has to be in your consciousness. So you have to change your consciousness. And you have to know that he'll be all right. If he has to sell the house, he'll get another house. He has to stand on his own 2 feet. That's this whole damn idea again, that blind meeting the blind. And you're sympathetic and you're this, that, and the other thing. If it's yours by right of consciousness, it would be yours. You would get it. But you keep making one excuse after the other. So it doesn't matter how much you pay your lawyer and how much his lawyer is fighting, as long as you do not change your mind about that, you are not going to get that. Because you really don't think that you deserve it for some reason.
I don't know what that reason is, but I can tell you, you don't think that you deserve it.
Well, I can tell you because I feel like I have to take it from him. I didn't know that you're going to say the universe is endlessly abundant.
Yes.
Because he has to give up something. He doesn't have to give up something for me to get by.
That's it. What is yours by right of consciousness? By right of consciousness. Everything is done. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is in your consciousness. The truth, you have to change your mind about things for something to happen for you. The only transformations that you can make is in mind. You cannot change anything on the outside of life. You can only change your consciousness and your thinking. So, sit down and forgive yourself and forget about your brother. And start working on the idea that you are worthy, you are deserving, you're totally level, and you matter. And don't go into, well, but I need this money because of this, that, and the other thing. As soon as you go into that needing part, what does that make you? It makes you needy. You have to know that you need nothing, that everything is already there. When you stop wanting, you will have. Just do it slowly. You try to just let it go slowly, sinking in to your consciousness till you're able to change that consciousness. And you see, the other thing is everyone thinks that it's magical and mystical and all this kind of stuff. And they think, oh, well, I forgave him. Isn't that grand? Now everything will be all right. Well, apparently not, you see. Forgiveness has nothing to do with it, people. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. What does that mean? What does that mean, it rains on the just? The law works for everyone. It has nothing to do with goodness. It has nothing to do with anything. The law works through your mind, through your consciousness, and it just keeps working. You can do all kinds of dirty things. You can kick the cat or beat the dog or whatever you want to do. The law is not going to stop and say, oh, you kicked the dog, I'm not going to work for you. Just keeps right on going. Just keeps right on going. Keeps right on going.
That's all. How about, though, we talked about my spot before and wanting a new truck. I have to not want a new truck.
You have to know that you already have that new truck.
I have a picture of it on my fridge.
Yes.
And I went to test for it.
Yes.
And I talked to them.
Yes. No, but why? Because I'm going to make a big one here. You have that all done, and you say, oh, you see, that's that treasure mapping routine and all this stuff. That's all well and good. That's secondary causation, but we won't get into that at the present moment. But I know what's stopping you. So you have all that and this and that. The other thing in your mind says yes, and you're going to get that as soon as your brother gives you that money. You're always back to that damn money. You see? Isn't that going on in your mind? I'm going to get this, this, and this, and I get this money. Do you people see? I'm not picking one. Do you see the thinking and why it's not working?
So just to take it a little more step, say the truck is involved. So if it's not in this room and it's not his, how can we really feel like it's there?
How can you feel like it's there? You have to become aware, have an awareness of that, have a knowingness of that, and know that some channel is going to open for you. He has said, I'm going to get all this stuff, but it must come through this channel. God does not work that way. All things are possible with God. Remember? So you have to know that another channel and another way is going to come. You have to know if I give up this money, there is tons more over here coming to me. But I'm concentrating on this amount of money, and I'm concentrating on this to do everything for me. Now, what have you done? You have taken God out of the equation. Because with God, all things are possible. God can find a much better way to do it. And you'll never miss that money. You'll have tons of money over here. But you're always looking over here instead of looking somewhere else.
I see that. I am open to the, all this, what do you say, the avenues of money that...
Channels
of money. I'd say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But your mind is back to that money.
Can I make a comment? I heard this once. If you ever loan money, never expect it back because you probably won't get it back. Loan it less than giving it as a gift, and if you give it back, they'll take it. So he may not have done it that way. It might have just been in where it got mishandled or something. But if you pretend you're never getting it, you may get it back. And I try to think about that. And like sometimes the other day I was like needing money badly, and things aren't working out wonderfully. Like I think I'm chugging along, doing it okay, and I go, now if there was just a check in the mailbox, wouldn't that be grand? And I opened up the mailbox and I got a rebate from my AAA. And I went, okay, now I can pay for my insurance again. Yay. But, you know, sometimes you'll say something like that and it just kind of appears.
Well, it doesn't just kind of appear. You cannot see if you, then that blows that right out of the water.
It does because we are putting it in the right direction and are working toward that.
But you always go to the mailbox expecting money. Well, see, then you don't get it. You always go to the mailbox expecting money. But people go to the mailbox expecting bills. And what do you get? You get bills.
I said that, and it happened. That same day when I opened it, I went, now, totally never expected for AAA to get a rebate.
But you never know where the channel is and what it's going to open. So you say to yourself, money is always freely circulating in my life. I always have a divine surplus. You see. But large sums of money come to me unexpectedly, under grace in perfect ways. Large sums of money come to me under grace in perfect ways.
Under grace,
in perfect ways. So you must always have that going on in your consciousness. God can only do for you what God can do through you. It's done with your consciousness. It's done with your thinking. If you think, I'm very unlucky. I never get anything. Where that's what God's going to do. It's all God can do. Money always comes back to you or its equivalent. Nothing is ever lost in the universe. It must be returned to me or its equivalent. So you're looking at that. If you knew that the equivalent could come, you could give that up.
What do you mean equivalent? What do you mean by that?
Something exactly like it. What the hell do you think equivalent means?
Well, no, but like, say, so it's not, it doesn't always come to me, maybe to my equivalent. What do you mean? Did you just say that?
No. Or its equivalent. Yes. Yeah. So if I had $50,000, I let $50,000 go, right? Somebody may give me a diamond worth $50,000. It's equivalent.
Equal.
Equal. Yeah.
If it's been lost to you, it will
return. No, I'm not saying that because we do never use the word lost. If you use the word lost, it's lost. God can only do for you what God can do through your thinking. And if you use the word lost and this thing called God is coming through you and it runs into lost, that's as far as it's going to go. You may not use that. I told you earlier you must learn to change your vocabulary, word, structure, thought. And if you use the word lost, your thinking is it's lost, it's lost, it's lost, it's lost. Another question.
I learned that one well.
Yes. And it was an aha moment, wasn't it?
It was. An aha moment.
Yeah. It's all done in your mind. It's all done with your thinking. It's all done with the words that you're using. Learn to change your thinking. Learn to see this thing that you're talking about as total intelligence, total wisdom, something that's infinite, something that your little finite mind cannot figure out. And say to yourself, I don't know how to do it, but I know that there's a bigger mind than mine that knows exactly how to do it and is doing that now, and I am willing to move myself out of the way. I am willing to release any idea, any thought, any attitude that is holding me back from my good. And then release those things. And let that come, you see. Let that come. What religion did you grow up? None. Well, you got a big dose of suffering somewhere. You love to suffer. There's no such thing. You don't have to suffer. And that's it. Please don't be convinced that you have to suffer. It's not going to make you any better, you know? Not going to make you any better. Any other questions? Okay. Everything that you need is inside of you, inside of your thinking, inside of your mind. This teaching is called metaphysics, means beyond the physical. It's called also the science of mind. Meaning that we are dealing with mind, not only our mind, but the mind of God. And we are living, moving, and having our being in that mind. And when you learn to change your consciousness, when you learn to change your mind, things will happen differently in your life. Your outside life will change. But it has to start on the inside and move outside. Life is a do-it-yourself project. From the inside out. Please remember that and stop being convinced by the world and by this little bitty teeny weeny ego mind that puffs itself up so that you think it's a great big dragon. And it is not. It is next to nothing. So tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.